produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
This is Minister Brenda Litsolenyane Inspirational Talk on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett.
Good evening, Saints. I trust you are well, trust you are graced, trust you still are sitting where the Lord has positioned you, trust you understand that Jordan has been opened for me and you. Jordan is there for us to pass through, and we are not crossing over with any defilement. We are not crossing over with ashes, no wrecks, no wrecks. Oh my God, there is beauty, beauty given to us. There is a garment of praise given to us. We are no longer going to be moving with the spirit of heaviness. Anything that is not of God, high sale, man, high sale. In the mighty name of Jesus, hadi sale. In Jesus' mighty name, there are certain people that you are not going to go with, you are not traveling with, they must just be left behind. They must just be left behind. Remember, God is the only one who ratifies who should go with you, who should not go with you. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Because when I get, you cannot foresee, you cannot see. The Spirit sees, the Spirit knows the hearts of men. The Lord knows the devious schemes that people have against you. So when because you are gullible to nice wedding, nice greetings, nice, you think people are for you. No, child of God. This season you are not crossing over with anything that is not of God. Praise you, Jesus. You are crossing over. No packages. Ahuna baggage, child of God. Kining uditwere the baggage. Eh? For how long have you been carrying this baggage of shame, baggage of mockery, baggage of the past? Eh? You thought God hasn't forgotten you. There are people that are trapped because they think God hasn't forgotten them. Hey! If you can learn, child of God, to focus on your life and your future, you'll see that God loves you. It was necessary for you to go through that phase. Ah, let me just give you two examples. You know, we are just engaging with the book of Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, let me go there. Joshua chapter 2, where the spies were housed, you know, were preserved in the house of what? Of the harlot. Something came into my mind when I just went back to that scripture to say, yes, the harlot knew who these people were, but they didn't know who they are. Do you understand what I'm saying? The harlot knew who they were. So why did the harlot know who they were? It is because God had designed the harlot to be a fearfully and wonderfully made creation to give glory to him. But because of the forces of darkness in her journey, because of those things in her journey, it gave her an evil identity, undesirable identity. She was called a harlot. I believe they were calling her names. Child of God, you might be that person, but the prophetic existed in the woman because you are spiritual beings. The woman could prophesy to the spies to say, let me go there quickly, let me go there because I don't want to say it out of context. Praise you, Jesus. But you can see that everybody whom the Spirit of the Lord is within them, they are so dynamic. They are so dynamic, but it's only the enemy who comes to what to daunt your character. But it's up to you. The lady could have, the harlot could have stayed that way, but she refused. Hallelujah. She refused. She asked them, let me read verse 2 quickly. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. Okay, so the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land. Listen to that. She says to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. So you see, she tapped into the prophetic. Hallelujah. Just because there was what a visitation of what the anointed ones, those two spies were anointed. Thank you, Jesus. But they didn't know what they carry. So sometimes in our lives, we might look at, oh, I'm a mess. I love what someone said during the day in our group, to say it's a Lazarus kind of a situation. Lazarus has a season where they are dead, but sometimes they might not rise up because someone tells you how bad you are. Rahab, you are a harlot. How can you say this to us? But the men didn't resist what you are saying. They didn't reject it. Hallelujah. And verse 10, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. You see, this woman knew that these are indeed servants of the Lord. Child of God, it doesn't matter how hopeless the situation is. We are in a season whereby God is using the Rahabs of the time, to make crooked, to set crooked paths straight. I consider myself a Rahab of the time. I don't know what a Rahab situation looks like in your life, but there is that hollow tree in your life. But God is saying, I'm using the hollow tree in you to impact lives. I'm using the hollow tree in you to change situations. So I'm advocating for people who say, no one is going to listen to me. No one will travel my roads. I'm not desirable. Child of God, this is a season for you to know that you needed that personality. You needed that character. When you go to the book of Romans, let's go to the book of Romans. You know, I love the Lord. I love the Lord, child of God. Never ever give up on yourself, especially when you know that you have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ represents a sanctuary. He's the minister of the sanctuary that cannot be broken, that cannot be destroyed. Thank you, Jesus. So let's go to the book of Romans chapter 5. The book of Romans chapter 5, we're just going to set the record straight. As you cross over, remember, like I said, you are not going with certain individuals because there is a qualifier. Faith is a qualifier. You went through stuff, child of God, but you refused not to believe that he's existing. You refused to mix. Abantubasa mixer. You refused to mix the Messiah with certain things. Oh, my God. You refused. You hold on to him. So therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you are justified through faith. Hallelujah. Justified through faith. That gives you peace. You know what? In the midst of everything that I'm going through, there is a Messiah. There is a God. Hallelujah. The omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresence. He's there for me. Praise you, Jesus. And through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Bona. Asimi lapha kuJordan. Asindluli because of might and power. But by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. What is the Spirit of the Lord? The grace of God allows us, oh God, allows us to pass through, hallelujah, on dry ground. It's a qualifier. Faith is a qualifier. Faith doesn't mean just believing. It means there were works. There were works. You were exercising your spiritual muscles. You were praying, child of God. You were fasting, child of God. You were engaging in the word. You are also ministering to people. It shows that you have qualified. You have qualified. Why would you do certain things when you couldn't see nothing? There was nothing happening in your life, but you stood the test of time. You never abandoned it. Even if you lost things in your life, you never stop singing this song that says, Jesus is Lord. Let me read through again. It says, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. and character hope. You see now, you cannot cross Jordan without him. Without faith. What is faith? We can declare things and people say, I believe, I receive. Mamela, it has to be a process of refining. You need to be refined. Thank you, Jesus. There need to be a refinement. You need to suffer just like Job. Praise you, Jesus. You need to suffer, hallelujah, because it produces perseverance. A qualifier to cross Jordan is perseverance. Did you stand now? I'm crossing Jordan. No, it needs a character. I want to clarify that. And perseverance, character. You see, your perseverance leads to character, and character which leads to hope, and hope which does not disappoint. Hallelujah. Now there is no longer shame. Hallelujah. Not disappointed. You are crossing. You are qualified. The ground is ready for you, child of God. The ground is ready for you. Only God knows who's qualified. Only God knows who still needs to exercise, because the Jordan is like a scanner. It's like a scanner. Jordan says you cannot pass through. Hallelujah. Jordan says you cannot pass through. It will swallow you. Hallelujah. That's why certain things cannot cross over with you, because they were not tested. So I want to encourage you. It's a season of you crossing over. You qualified. Congratulations. Well done, child of God. Celebrate him. Embrace him. Appreciate him. Sing a song of praise. Psalm 126. Read it all and say, Lord, thank you for restoring my fortunes. Thank you for restoring that which has been stolen. You said it in the book of Joel. Hallelujah. Lord God, we bless you, we glorify you, and I thank you, child of God, for standing for so long. I thank you for even saying he's still Lord. May the good Lord bless you. I love and appreciate you, in Jesus' name, amen. Good evening, saints. Trust you are well, you are still blessed. Hey. This is a season of you embracing your elevation, embracing your vindication. No one can stop the restoration that has visited your house. Salvation has visited you, child of God. All that you have to do is to open your eyes, your ears, and your heart to see what the Lord is doing. The word of the Lord says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Child of God, I prophetically want to declare this in our lives, that we have transitioned. In the month of May, as it began, God said we are transitioning. Hallelujah, like a metamorphosis. Praise Jesus, from a cocoon to a butterfly. It's not an easy process, because that process requires strength. That process requires patience. Somehow, you know, there is so much pain that you go through. But the Lord had promised us that it's in a process of transition that we get to where he wants us to be. In Jesus' mighty name, I'm reminded of the book of Joshua, when God instructed Joshua to carry the children of Israel as they were to cross over Jordan. Hallelujah. There were instructions given. When you are given instructions, look for 12 men, hallelujah, from different tribes. It's an exercise. It's not an overnight thing. It's an exercise. There were periods. Everything that you see from chapter 3, 4, 5, even from 1, it never happened in one day. It was a transition. You know, transitions happen in our lives, and they require us to exercise patience. Nevertheless, we are growing stronger. We are maturing mentally, physically, and spiritually, and also emotionally, understanding that God cannot give us the gifts, hallelujah, because the word of the Lord says they make us rich. So how can your gift inflict pain? How can your gift destroy you? So it needs a certain breed, a certain character. Child of God, the Lord promised Joshua. Remember in chapter 3, he said, consecrate yourself. Tell your children of Israel to consecrate themselves, for tomorrow I will do an amazing thing. That was chapter 3, verse 5. Hallelujah. So I will do amazing things among you. So God wants us to consecrate ourselves. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that is not of God, whatever it is that does not glorify God, let it go, child of God. Some will say, no, I'm not doing anything wrong. But you might be too egoistic, too full of yourself. And God say, consecrate yourself, because you are not bringing a sweet aroma when you come before his presence. But God wants us to cross Jordan. Hallelujah. for those who are still saying, the Lord is saying, I must consecrate myself. Consecrate yourself because you are crossing over in the mighty name of Jesus. This week, specifically this week, we are crossing over Jordan. Hallelujah. The transition had milestones. And God said everything is going to happen as sudden manifestation. Little did we know that when he declared that there is a transition in the month of May, we didn't know that by this time we are crossing over Jordan. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's why the Lord says, I will do a thing that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has conceived. This is what the Lord is doing this season. Hallelujah. The God of sudden manifestations. The God who's faithful, who says we are his witnesses. And because he is our God, there is no other God. And even before him, even after him, there will never be any other God. As we transition, access is denied. Access is denied. In the name of Jesus, shame cannot transition with you. Shame cannot cross over Jordan. Hallelujah. You can read in the book of Joshua chapter 4 verse 14. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples. Occupy until I come. Hallelujah. This is a time for us to occupy, child of God.
This was Inspirational Talk by Minister Brenda Litsolenyane, produced by Caleb Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Produced by Caleb Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings to the listeners of Finding My Way Radio everywhere in the world. This is Apostle Jezile. Today we're going to talk about the importance of feeding our spirit. It is so very key that we are watchful of our spiritual diet, because if we want to grow, if we want to have a very mature, strong, nutritious spirit, we must definitely watch our diet. Actually, we will know that we are actually in this mess that we are in now because of what we ate from the Garden of Eden, when the devil, in the form of a serpent, came to convince Eve to eat from a forbidden tree, so eat a forbidden fruit, and that led us to be in the chaos that we are in. But praise be to Jesus, who came and rescued us to such a mess. Let us find our foundational scriptures in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 35, in the King James Version of the Bible. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. This is very key, like I said in my opening statement, that one of the things we need to know, which Christ himself has highlighted, is the issue of hunger and the issue of thirst. They play a very big role in a Christian life. They play and plays a very, very important role in the life of a believer. Because if you have to go far, you must be fed well. If you have to go far, you must not be dehydrated. He addresses two things: issues of nutrition, issues of being fed for the road, issues of being well taken care of your liquids, which he equates it to test. We know water in the Bible equates to the Holy Spirit. Bread equates to Jesus Christ. So the true core of a Christian walk with God. You can never go far with God if you are not eating the word of God. And who is the word if it is not Christ, who was with God in the beginning, who was God? And the Bible in John chapter 1 says, and the word become a flesh. These are key things, because that which is spiritual is equated to what is natural. So there must be a very strong balance in a Christian life between what God has given us naturally to prophetically decode spiritual issues or dimensions of what our natural realm is trying to communicate to us. No wonder the Bible says, and the nature is waiting for the true sons of God to be revealed, because there is so much spirit in nature, and there is so much nature in spirit. These things are more like hand in glove. Everybody has to know that when God created the universe, He made these visible things to depict to us the invisible things. So when Christ says, "I am the bread of life, he who comes to me shall never hunger." In other words, Christ is saying, if you have to be strong in life, you must eat the bread of life. In John, again, he continues saying, "I am the life." But again, in John, he says, "I am the bread of life." That means there is life, and then there is the bread of life. So in order for you to enjoy life, in order for you to endure life, in order for you to survive life, you must not only have life, but you must also have that keeps you strong, which is the bread of life, Christ himself. He says, "He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." These are two things, taking you back to the Garden of Eden. When the serpent came to Eve, he tested him in issues of what must be eaten, because what you eat, it definitely informs who will you be. So Eve was tricky and deceived by the serpent when the serpent said to her, "You must eat the fruit, for God knows that on the day you eat, you shall be like him in knowing good and evil." So when we eat, there is a level of revelation that comes to us. But that which we eat is also equated to what shall be revealed to us. Because devil says there is a food that when you eat, you become aware of what is evil and what is around you. And if that is the case, because we know there were two trees in the Garden of Eden, there was also the tree of life, which represented Christ. So in other words, then the devil can never point you to eat from that which will reveal the more of Christ in you. Whatever devil is projecting to you, revealing to you to eat, it has something to do with you feeding who he is in your life. Whatever you drink, it also reveals who he is in your life. Or if it does not reveal who he is in your life, it reveals who Christ is in your life. We can have a whole lot of examples. There is a whole lot of things that people drink. Some of such is the amount of liquor people consume, which tends to reveal who is in their heart. So what you eat or drink always reveals what is in you. Paul makes a powerful statement about eating and drinking. He says, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. There must be something that which we eat reveals. So today, and I want everybody everywhere as you are listening, when you read the Bible, you must have a revelation that you are feeding your spiritual man. So in other words, you need to be conscious of what you are consuming into your spiritual man. Will it make him strong or will it make him weak? The fact of the matter is that we have Christians who are truly malnutritioned when it comes to the word. They only rely and depend from the word that comes from the pulpit. From there, they don't even go home and verify the truth of what has been preached from the pulpit. That is why we need to be very, very aware that when the word is preached, let's make a follow-up to go see that which has been preached to us, that it comes from the word of God, because that's the food that will make or break us. So as we continue with this message, I want you to also look at Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel was actually challenged with the issues of what must be eaten, when the eunuchs that was submitting to the king, Nebuchadnezzar of the time, came with a diet that was meant to be eaten by all young lads. But Daniel purposing in his heart, that is verse 18 of chapter 1, purposing in his heart, watching the delicacies that are on the king's table. Because you must understand that in the issues of nutrition, it's not important to be full, because you can be full of the food that is not healthy. You can be full of the food that can make you have stomach cramps. You can be full of the food only to find that the food itself is poison. So what is very key about what you eat is not only to be full, but is also to understand what it does to you. Because there must be a change when you are on the right nutrition. Look at what these guys are saying to the eunuch, to King Nebuchadnezzar, say, give us 10 days. So in other words, when you are eating something nutritious, why should it take you 10 years to change? Why should it take you a lifetime to change? Because if it is so nutritious, it got to change you, and you are not the one who's going to say, look, I have changed. Your peers will testify that there is something about you. We all know, if we have to take this practically, when you're on a special diet, those who last saw you having gained some weight, some pounds, kgs, according to South Africa, you will find people noticing that because of the special diet that you are in, you have shed some pounds. And you don't have to say it. They will say themselves that, what is it that you are doing? We see that you have lost some weight in your life. Only then you are able to say to them, no, I'm on a special diet. So in other words, when you are on a special diet, it shows. When you're on a special diet, it does not only give you a good shape physically, it also gives you health physically. If it does act physically, imagine the spiritual diet. We can't feed on the word of God and remain the same. Christ says something profound in John chapter 6, verse 35. He says, whosoever shall come and eat of this bread shall not hunger again. So in other words, some of the worldly things that we are hungry for can only be dealt with the word. Some of the worldly things that we are so thirsty and hungry for, that thirst cannot be quenched by the things that the world offers. It can only be quenched by what the word offers. We have a beautiful example in chapter 4 of John again, when Christ has a dialogue with a woman at the well of Jacob. When he comes and starts a dialogue with, where is your husband? And he says, I have no husband. He says, you have well said. That was the start of the dialogue. But the key thing in the dialogue is the issue of water. When Christ says, can you give me water that I may drink? And the Samaritan woman says, but you have nothing at all to get the water. Christ says, if you knew who asked water from you, you would actually ask water from him, because the water I will give you, you will not thirst again. Again, his revelation from above, Christ is saying that the move of this woman from one man to another man is a spiritual test that manifests with physical habits. So in other words, there can be physical habits that are actually pointing to your spiritual need. Remember that God is a God who is so full of grace and mercy. He will rather show up in a situation like he did to a Samaritan woman. So if we have to change our habits, if we have to change the way we look, if we have to change the way we speak, if we have to change our walk, we can only do it by taking our master's advice, who said, I am the bread of life. If you eat of this bread that I am, you shall never hunger nor thirst again. We need that because we are hungry for so many things. We need that bread because we are hungry for the things that are destructive to us and our family. We need the water that Christ says he is, so that we do not thirst for the things that are destructive to us. We don't need to drink things that reveals our nakedness. We need to be sober at all times. I love, this is what Paul says about the issues of drinking. He says we must not be drunk by wine that is full of dissipation. We must rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is also a contrast in that scripture. We must not be drunk with wine, but we must be filled with the Spirit. So in other words, when we are filled with the Spirit, therefore our quest and our thirst for other things is already quenched by the Spirit of God. We need to make sure that we are always filled with the Spirit of God and full with the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. We need Christ in our life. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. Without these two in our lives, we will be found wanting things after things, fashion, cars, houses, and everything else. Actually, I think now what the gospel has turned out to be, it has turned out to be about what we wear, and it has turned out to be about what we drive. It has turned out to be where we stay. And all these things are natural signs of a spiritual cry. This is the message that I'm bringing to you across, that to feel your thirst, to feel your hunger, we need Christ. This actually became the highest test, because Christ upgraded this message from bread to meat, because he had some point he said to his disciples, if you want to be truly my disciples, you must eat my body and drink my blood. And they say, this is now too much of a teaching. And the rest left him. Only the revelator and the Peter kind of disciple was left with Christ, with a revelation that where can we go from you? Because issues of life springs from you. So it is very key that as we walk with Christ, we are able to go from one dimension of maturity to another dimension of maturity. And the only thing that can help us is to feed in the Word of God. We got to eat the Word of God. John says in the book of Revelation that I heard the word that says, eat the book. Eat is the book. And he says the book became bittersweet. We can no longer pick and choose what we need from the scriptures. We can have the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation speaking to our heart. If it rebukes us, we've got to repent. If it gives us a peck on the back, we've got to praise. But we can no longer pick and choose what suits us from the scriptures. We must taste the bitterness of it. We must also taste the sweetness of it. This is what Exodus chapter 12 deals with it. When Israel is about to leave Egypt, God commands them to prepare a Passover lamb. And he says, you must eat the whole lamb. Nothing must be left. And that lamb was referring to the Christ who will hang on the cross later. And later, this is the Christ who reveals himself as the bread of life. Remember that they were also commanded to make bread without leaven, so that the bread stays fresh and stays longer. It is very key that the word we eat, we understand that it is for our sustenance. Remember when the word of God came to Elijah at some point and said, rise up and eat, for the road is so long. you must know that what you eat prepares you for the journey with the Lord. That is why you cannot compromise what you listen to. That is why you cannot compromise where and who prepares food for you. It is very key that you understand that the food you eat is going to prepare you for the road. We must understand that again, as we read our scripture, in the basis and in doing justice to this topic is that in the basis of what we eat, we are also preparing ourselves for a journey we do not know how long it is, only heaven knows. So in other words, whatever God provides for us, he knows that it is what we need for the journey. But having said that, as we mature in the Lord, we have also a responsibility to check what we are fed by those who are assigned to be the overseers of our souls. We must check. How do we check? Whenever a message is preached, one must go home and make a follow-up to it. Not just to criticize the message, but to make a follow-up until it sinks to your soul. I wish you hear what I'm saying. Not just go home to get a wet pen to keep what was said right and what was said wrong. There is nothing wrong with that, but the major thing should be that let me go back and eat again so that it sinks in my soul. It rejuvenates my body and refreshes my spirit and prepares me for a journey ahead. We need to eat the word of God. We need to feed in the word of God, for it is the food for our soul, body, and spirit. When we fail to do so, we do no justice to ourselves, and we can blame nobody. Paul says, by now you ought to be eating meat, but you still need milk. In other words, these are dimensions of what we eat. These are dimensions of food, and this food provides us different nutrition for our spiritual walk with God. It is not fair that one at the stage where he's supposed to be eating meat, but he is still feeding and drinking milk. We must grow up. We must upgrade from what we eat. It would not be naturally correct, neither naturally accepted, when a child forever feeds on milk and never go to solid food. By now, we need to be Christian in our churches that are ready for eating meat. Cannot again get offense from the word that came from the pulpit when you're no longer a milk Christian. You cannot be offended again by a prophecy that seeks to push you towards your destiny when you are no longer a milk Christian. Remember, meat requires teeth. You can't eat meat if you don't have teeth. That is why as you grow, you develop teeth naturally. I wish that you also do the same spiritually, because the teeth actually are preparing you for solid food, because the teeth are a sign that your body is ready for something a little bit stronger than what you have been drinking. So you must also take notice that we move from drinking to eating. It is very imperative that the Christian must understand this dimension of food and the nutrition thereof, which are a symbol spiritually, that we move from drinking to eating. At some stage, we also milk drinking with eating, because these two also works for the easily digestion of what is fed in our spiritual life. We must grow. And as we grow, we also come to a dimension where our food is not only prepared by somebody else, but is also prepared by us. So we can no longer, as we mature spiritually, blame somebody else for our growth and maturity, because we must come from drinking to eating, from eating to prepare what we need to eat, not only rely on a Sunday sermon service that is going to be dished to us by our pastor. There is nothing wrong with that. But as we mature, we must come to a place where we are also eating food that is prepared by us. That is also even more powerful, because if you prepare food yourself, you know what goes to your pot and you know what comes out of your pot to your plate. So it's very key that as a child of God, we mature in these dimensions, we launch into the deep. We are no longer children tossed to and fro. We are now matured in issues of doctrine, that there is no devil from hell that can preach a powerful message. And we say amen, because we are not sure whether it is or it is not. We must be able to say a truth from hell is equal to a lie, because there comes a time, and that time is now, where false prophets are all over the world, and they don't just come empty-handed. They come with look-alike, real prophecies and miracles. But when you are matured enough, you don't get fascinated by such. The last dimension that I want to dish out is that as you mature, you choose the things you eat, and you choose the places where you eat, because you are matured. It doesn't matter how nicely decorated the food can be and the plate can be. If you are not interested, you won't eat. That is the Daniel dimension, because I know for sure the delicacies from a king's table are truly the delicacies. But it takes a mature man to say, I'm not only looking for nice things, I'm also looking for nutritious things. May the good God bless you as you digest this message in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Wherever you are listening, I pray that the Lord will bless you, will multiply you, and expand your territory as we mature and grow together in the things of the Lord. Launch into the deep. Amen and amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, everyone. You're listening to United Kingdom Radio Network USA World. My name is Chief Ambassador Chi, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa, and welcome to this broadcast today. Brothers and sisters, we are grateful to be afforded this time again to share the word with you as we in South Africa continue on our lockdown. We thank God for His goodness. We thank God for the recoveries from this COVID-19. And we pray that the Lord heals the emotional wounds and scars of those who have lost their loved ones in the period of this global crisis. Either way, the Lord is good, and please keep us in your prayers as we also keep you in our prayers, brethren in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. My brethren in Christ, excuse me. Did you know it matters the company you keep? As a believer in Christ, did you know that darkness and light never mix? Do you know there is a reason why whomever you have in your circles, and I'm not talking work, I'm talking personal space, it's important that God you serve should be the same God. yet alone anyone who you are romantically involved with. It matters, the God you serve. Because I've seen it personally in my life. If one believes in idol worship or ancestral worship, and I believe in Christ, I'm a believer in Christ, one of us, if not both, is going to try and win one to another. And failure to do so, resistance from both ends, is bound to result in a breakup. It's bound to result in parting ways. One side must give. Two sides going hand in hand together. It's unlikely. Especially now, if you're going to be talking in the context of marriage. In times of trouble, we all remember our God. Or gods. Those who believe in ancestral worship, they know where they go to when they're in trouble. Those who are believers in Christ know where to go when they're in trouble. Here's a family, one of the missionaries in SKM. They lost the child, the very first child, in a church service. Both are believers, both were very young at that time, and married. The child born in wedlock, all that. The child dies in church premises or during the church service, and a baby, for that fact, a baby dies at a church service. And here's something that the missionary's wife says. She says, if she never cursed God that day, she'll never curse God. And guess what? It's almost 20 years later. And she and her husband serve the Lord faithfully so. There would have been trouble for a fact if one of them was not a believer in Christ. There would have been trouble in that marriage and in that household or family. There would have been trouble. There would have been trouble. Let me read in the Bible a few verses just to show you why certain companies of people is not in your interest to be around. And I will read from the book of 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11 reads as follows. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughters of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidon, and Hittite women, from the very nations of whom the Lord said to the Israelites, "You shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you. For the result will be that they will turn away your hearts to follow their gods." Yet Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned his heart away. Excuse me. When Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not completely devoted to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Milcom, the horror of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow the Lord fully as his father David had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the horror of Moab, on the hill which is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the horror of the sons of Ammon. And he did the same for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not fellowship, he should not follow other gods, but he did not observe what the Lord had commanded. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. However, I will not do it in your lifetime for the sake of your father David, but I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away all the kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Excuse me. Now, this is supposed to be the wisest man who has lived in his time, or however in history. But according to the Bible, he was the wisest man who's lived in his time. A man who possessed so much wisdom. But in that wisdom, he disobeyed the Lord and went to companies of people he had no business being in company with. Anointed as he was. Remember, at some point, I mean, he brought a solution to the two prostitutes that were fighting over an alive baby, because one killed her own child and took the one who was alive and made it her own, and took the dead one and put it on the breast of the one who was not the mother. A man who sorted out all those problems, well, part of that being one of the things that he did to show that he was a man of great wisdom. But simply because he was in the company of wrong people, not just that now, sleeping with people he had no business being around, and taking as wives people the Lord has warned against, tore down all that the family has had in his lineage. But here's the thing, like the Lord said, it shall not happen in your lifetime for the sake of your father David. It shall happen in the lifetime of your son. Please believe me when I tell you, bad company is not in your interest to have around or in your circles. It's not in your interest to have bad company around you. I've not been married before, although from my observation of dating, and for the record, in my dating, I've never dated anyone whom was not in any way a believer. So those I thought were believers. I thought they were believers because they attended church. So if by any chance any of them was not a believer, it was because they were being deceitful. But here's the thing. Their hearts were not with God. How I knew this? Simple conversation. Simple things that took place in life. When storms arose or took place, I see the kind of decisions they took. I saw the kind of companies they kept. And you see, here's the thing. A common thing I saw with all of them. They claimed to be of God, but when storms arose, they went into idol worship, ancestral worship, and trying to use elders as an excuse. And I'm thinking to myself, if you are indeed an obedient child, which is a lie, you don't agree with anything. You don't agree on everything with elders. Why do you agree specifically on that if you're a believer, if you're supposed to be a believer in Christ? You see my point? Now, what more? You see, back to what I was saying. One of you is going to try and win another to your side of belief. And if you fail to do so, you're not going to give sense to each other and you're going to part ways. Due to bad company. Let's see more of bad company. Let's see more of an example of what bad company does to you. And we read from the book of 1 Kings chapter 12. It reads as follows. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. Now when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard about it, he was living in Egypt. So they sent word and called for him. And Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke heavy. So now lighten the hard labor and the heavy yoke your father imposed on us, and we will serve you. Excuse me. Rehoboam replied to them, leave for 3 days, then come back to me. So the people left. King Rehoboam consulted with elders who had served and advised his father Solomon while he was still alive, and said, How do you advise me to answer this people? They spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and grant them their request and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. But he ignored the advice which the elders gave him and consulted the young men who grew up with him and served him. He said to them, what do you advise that we answer these people who have said to me, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? The young men who had grown up with him answered, this is what you should say to this people who told you, your father made our yoke heavy, but as for you, make our yoke lighter. Say this to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father loaded you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. Jeroboam and all the people came back to Rehoboam on the third day, just as the king had instructed, saying, return to me on the third day. The king answered the people harshly and ignored the advice which their elders had given him, and spoke to them in accordance with the advice of the young man, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but as for me, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for the situation was from the Lord, so that he might fulfill his word, which he spoke through Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Now let's see. Let's see what bad company does. Let's continue on verse 16. So when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people replied to the king, saying, "What portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Look now after your own house, David." Then Israel went back to their tents. But as for the sons of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of the forced labor, and all Israel stoned him to death. And King Rehoboam quickly mounted his chariots to escape to Jerusalem. So Israel has rebelled against the house of David to this day. It came about when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had returned, that they sent word and called him to the assembly and made him king over all Israel. None followed the house of David except the tribe of Judah. Bad company. It doesn't matter how anointed you may be. Excuse me. You have no business with bad company. It started with his father Solomon. Foreign woman turned his heart against God. Then his son, Rehoboam. Bad company, rejected the advice of the wise who were old, who were advisors of his father, and took advisors from his peers, people he grew up with. And look, bad company divided the kingdom. Now, last, we're going to read from the book of Judges, chapter 16. I just want to show you why it is not in your interest to be in the companies of people that God has warned you against. So, excuse me. Let me start from verse 4. Of Judges 16. And after this, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. So the lords of the Philistines came to her and said to her, "Persuade him and see where his great strength lies and how we may overpower him so that we may bind him to subdue him. And each of us will give you 11 pieces of silver." 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound and subdued. Samson said to her, "If you bind me with 7 fresh cords that have not been dried, then I will be weak and will be like any man." Then the Philistine lords brought 7 fresh cords that had not been dried, and she bound him. Look at that. She, not the enemies, she bound him with them. Now she had men lying in ambush in an inner room. See, she had men lying in ambush in an inner room. And she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he broke the cords as string of tow breaks when it touches fire. So his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said, "See now, you have mocked me and told me lies. And now tell me how you may be bound." He said to her, "If they bind me," look at that, the ignorance. "If they bind me tightly with new ropes that have not been used, then I will become weak and be like any man." So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And the men lying in ambush were in the inner room, but he snapped the ropes off his arms like threads. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me with what you may be bound." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 braids of my hair with the web, and fasten it with a pin, then I will become weak and will be like any other man." So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his hair and wove them into the web, and she fastened it with the pin of the loom and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the pin of the weaver's loom and the web. Now when you continue further, now due to time, she ends up getting the secret. He ends up, because due to the nagging and all that, he finally reveals the secret that no razor should ever touch his head or has ever touched his head. So his strength lies from the 7 logs on his head. And indeed, she placed his head onto her thighs and did that. Got someone to cut her hair and cut his hair. And indeed, the rest was history. He lost his strength. His eyes were gouged out. And she and her lords had victory, temporary victory over him. But you see, here's the thing. Bad company turns your heart away from God. It even makes you stupid. Why do I say stupid? you don't even, he wasn't even reasoning why she asked him all these questions, and why, when she is told what she told, what he told her, she did exactly that. What is it? Why was it in her interest to know the secret? But there, here's the obvious reason: to bind him and to subdue him, according to what she and her lords struck a deal over. It is not in your interest to be in the bad company of people that God prohibits you to be in company with. As we close, let's read these few scriptures just to show you that these are not my words, but they are simply just scripture informing you why it's not in your interest to be in the midst of bad company. And I'll read from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupt morals. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 reads as follows. But actually, I have written to you not to associate so brothers, if he is sexually immoral or greedy, or is an idolater, devoted to anything that takes the place of God, or is a reviler, who insults us, or otherwise verbally abuses others, or is a drunkard or a swindler, you must not so as much eat with such a person. For what business is it of mine to judge outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? God alone sits in judgment on those who are outside. Remove the wicked one from among you. Excuse me. And from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 14, reads as follows. Do not be unequally bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership can righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And last but not least, Proverbs 13, verse 20. And it reads as follows. Excuse me. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will experience harm. That's the Bible, and that's what God says.
Well, that's all we had time for today. Let us meet next week, same time, same place, the Lord willing. This is your radio station, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chikotu, all the way from Joburg, South Africa. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings to you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Anna Mochana from South Africa on Finding My Way Radio Network. And the program is Refreshing Times. And I bless the Lord that we are connected once more to share the word of God together. I trust that the Lord will refresh your spirit, renew your mind through his word today. My topic for today, we're talking about how to overcome our daily challenges. So my topic says overcoming daily challenges, and I'm reading the word of God from Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We are in the race, and we need to remember whenever we encounter challenges on a daily basis that we are in a race. And the word of God says we must take to run on your race. Yet you have so many things that you are carrying. You won't be able to run as fast as you are supposed to, but instead you will slow down. So because of these things that are happening in our lives, we find ourselves slowing down now and then because of the challenges. But today we are talking about how can we overcome these challenges on a daily basis. We need to remember that God is on our side. We need to remember that in everything that we come across, we are not alone. God is with us. He's taking care of us. He's fighting on our behalf. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 says that the Lord is going with us. He is fighting against our enemies, and he gives us victory. And we need to remind ourselves this all the time when we encounter challenges. We encounter challenges on daily basis, but we need to come to a point where we are able to trust God for every challenge that we encounter, and we are able to overcome the challenges. God does not want us to live our lives in fear and not knowing what to do and always feeling down as if the Lord has forsaken us. But he wants us to live victoriously. He wants us to overcome. The word of God says that if we are born of God, we overcome the world. So we need to remember that whenever we encounter daily challenges, that we are born of him. And because we are born of him, we overcome the challenges that come through into our life on a daily basis. So the word of God says here, let us lay aside every weight that slows us down, and let us run our race with patience. Now, running the race, we need to run the race with patience, not comparing ourselves to other people, not comparing ourselves to their pace, because if we do that, you will then realize that other people, their race might seem as if it's faster than yours, or yours is slower than theirs. So don't run your race focusing on other people, but run your race and focus on your race, and run your race with patience, trusting the Lord in every to take you through every step of the way. So I'm saying today, let us focus on overcoming the daily challenges that we come across in our personal lives. Number one, we need to position ourselves. When you read Exodus 14:14 says, position yourself, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord brings us salvation when we are standing still and when we are trusting him with the challenges that we come across. Most of the time when we go through challenges, we want to start first by trying to sort out things on our for ourselves, but we need to come to a point where we be still and know that he is God, and allow him to fight on our behalf and allow him to intervene in our daily challenges. So we need to position ourselves and remain calm and trust the Lord in the daily challenges that we come across, so that the Lord can bring us victory. And we also need to bear in mind all the time, whenever we are faced with challenges and difficult situation, that the Lord will bring us victory. Yes, victory is for us, but the battle is definitely not ours. The battle is of the Lord, and we need to allow God to fight on our behalf. That's what God wants. Hence, he says in Isaiah 30, verse number 18, he says, I desire to be gracious upon you. So the Lord all the time, he desires to help us. He desires to rescue us. He desires to intervene in our daily situations and daily challenges that we encounter. We shouldn't come to a point where we tend to think that there are challenges we can hand over to him, and some of the challenges we can come up with our own solutions. But we need to allow God to intervene in our lives in all challenges, whether they are small or they are big challenges. But let us allow God to intervene. And number two, when we read the word of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17, it says, pray without ceasing. And we need to be prayerful on daily basis. We need to trust the prayer like our own breath. You know, we can't make it without prayer. And we need to come to a point where prayer, it is our lifestyle. It is not something that we struggle to do, meaning that we need to be prayerful whether things are going well in our lives and whether things are not going so well in our lives. But we need to trust in the power of prayer and be prayerful ourselves and depend on prayer, because prayer, it is a method, it's the only method that we can communicate with the Lord with. It's that moment where you are able to tell him about your worries, to tell him about your fears, to tell him about your frustrations. And we need to make that time where we come and we lay everything before him, so that he can be able to fight on our behalf and to help us in our time of need. So prayer, we cannot do without prayer. We need to be prayerful like Paul and Silas. We remember the word of God in Acts 16:25. The word of God says that when after Paul and Silas were thrown into a cell after being beaten, instead of focusing in the pain, instead of focusing in what was going on at the time, they chose to rather pray and praise the Lord. And we need to do that on our daily basis as we encounter challenges, as we go through the valleys, as we go through difficult times. We need to trust the Lord and forget about the pains and forget about the hurts and forget about the discouragement, the disappointments that are happening around our lives. Let us focus on prayer, even if it is hard at times to pray. Just force yourself to do it. Just force yourself to do it, because you need God's intervention in everything. So let us be like Paul and Silas and learn to fully depend on prayer. As they were praying and as they were praising God, the prison doors open up, and there are things that our prayers, there are things that our praise will bring, our prayers and praise will bring us victory as we depend more and more on that. It is a weapon that God has given us. Prayer, it is one of the powerful weapons that God has given to us. Praise is a powerful weapon that the Lord has given unto us, and we need to use this weapons in our daily challenges, and trusting God at the same time to help us to conquer all the battles that we come across on our daily battles. So we need to communicate to God everything that is happening in our lives. We need to communicate with them whenever we're feeling down. We need to communicate with them. We need to tell him our worries, our fears. We need to speak to God about everything that is happening in our life, so that God can continue to fight on our behalf, so that God can continue to help us on our journey. And we need to remain focused on him, not on the challenges that we are coming across. There are so many things that are happening. If we will allow the challenges that are happening to move our focus from the Lord, then we're going to be distracted in most of the time. But we need to come to that point where we have learned not to focus on the things that are happening, not to focus on everything that the enemy throws at us. But let us lift up our eyes to the hills. Let us lift up our eyes unto the Lord and focus on him. Even if the challenges are forcing or they are you are going through too much of a pressure, but you need to come to that point where you are focused on God and on Him alone. And as we focus on Him, I believe that God will keep on renewing our strength and giving us a way forward. And as we focus on Him, He will make sure that everything of ours is going as planned. Because when we start to focus on everything that is happening around, then we forget important things like praying, like praising, like fellowshipping. We forget important things that we need to be doing. So it's very important that even when we go through daily challenges, we need to remain focused on God, remain focused on Jesus, remain focused on the relationship that you have with Him, remain focused and remind yourself that victory does not come to us. We don't bring ourselves victory, but it is God who brings us victory. And number three, and the word of God in Psalms 34, verse number 4, there David is praying unto the Lord, and he says, I prayed, and He answered, and He delivered me from my fears. And I want to encourage you that as we go through the daily challenges, fear not. Fear not, because the Lord is with you. Sometimes we go through so much pressure and we find ourselves fearful. But I want to encourage you to fear not and remind yourself that the Lord is with you, and the Lord, He will deliver you from whatever challenge that you are going through. Yes, you might be going through financial difficulties, maybe it's family problems, maybe it's marital problems. We can name all the problems, but whatever that you are going through, have no fear. Trust in the Lord, and the Lord will make a way for you. So David says here, I prayed and He answered me and He delivered me from my fear. So as we pray, the previous point that I've mentioned, as we pray as well, the Lord is able to deliver us from our fear, and He gives us relief as we pray and we draw nearer and closer to Him. So let us not fear, but let us fix our thoughts on things which are positive. When we read Philippians 4:8, it says to us, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, on what is right, on what is pure, on what is lovely and what is admirable. I know that sometimes because of challenges, we find ourselves and not fixing our thoughts on the positive, but we find ourselves fixing our thoughts on the negative stuff, things that are pulling us down. But I want us to pray this and try to do this as we encounter daily challenges, to fix our thoughts on things which are true. The word of God is true. The promises of God are true. So let us fix our thoughts today, even if things are not going our way, but let us encourage ourselves through the word of God and remain focused on the word of God and be very careful of the thoughts that we allow into our minds. Let us make sure that we allow thoughts that will build us up and not destroy us. Let us allow the thoughts that will boost more of our faith rather than boosting the fear. Because the more we are fearful, the more we lose our faith. So we need to be very careful as well on that, that whenever we go through daily challenges, let us not be fearful. Let us rather pray to God to increase our faith rather than the fear. So we need to come to that point where we overcome that as well. And if you can't overcome it, let it be your prayer item that, Lord, help me to overcome my fears. Deliver me from my fears, like David did pray unto the Lord. The Lord always wants us to live in victory, not to live a defeated life. So we need to try by all means to do it in the way that God, it will please God. So let us not be fearful. Know that God is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And He is the one who is going with us. He is the one who is fighting against our enemies, and He's the one who's bringing us victory. It is the intention of our Lord that to demonstrate his mighty power through us. So the challenges that we go through, they shouldn't make us feel like the Lord has forsaken us, or they shouldn't make us feel like we are not worth it or loved enough. But we should see it as an opportunity for the Lord to demonstrate his mighty power through us and through our challenges. If we don't go through challenges, people will never come to a point where they know the mighty power of God. It is through these tough times, it is through challenges, it is through difficult times where God comes through for us and overcome on our behalf that people see the mighty power of God. So let us allow him to allow the situations to come through our ways so that he will be able to be glorified at the end. Number four, we need to remind ourselves on our daily challenges. We're speaking about overcoming daily challenges. So number four, let us remind ourselves that Jesus fought on the cross the battle for us, and he won all the battles for us at the cross. And he still continues every day to win the battles on our behalf. We need not to be afraid, because Christ has won all the battles on our behalf. On the cross, he won the battles. He fought the battles on our behalf, and he won them on our behalf. We are victorious today because Christ Jesus, he was nailed on the cross. Christ Jesus, he was crucified, and at that moment, he was winning the battles on our behalf. He fought against our sicknesses. Lord Jesus fought against our infirmities at the cross. He fought against the sin and death on the cross, and he rescued us from the kingdom of darkness to into his kingdom. At the cross, Christ Jesus has done it all, and he still continues to fight our daily battles. So let us not be afraid or try to fight our own battles, because Jesus is fighting our battle. He wants to fight those battles on our behalf. The word of God in Colossians 2, verse number 15, says that Jesus defeated the spiritual rulers and powers. With the cross, Jesus won the victory and defeated them. He showed the world that they were powerless. So at the cross, he defeated the spiritual rulers. He defeated the powers of darkness, and he won the victory on our behalf. He defeated all, and he proved to the world that everything else, it is powerless, and he is mighty. So we need to trust in the Lord as we go through these daily challenges and not try to fight on our behalf. Let us be still and know that he is God. Even if the storm can be so powerful, at times we want to do something to help, to remedy our situation, but we need to come to a point where we relax and we just allow him to fight on our behalf. Because I want to remind you that the battles, they are not ours, but the battles are of the Lord. So we don't need to fight in our daily battles, but we need to allow our Lord to fight on our behalf. Change number five, let us change the way we approach our daily challenges, and start approaching our daily challenges in the spirit. Most of the time, whenever we go through challenges, we want to approach people, we want to fight people, we want to pray against the people who are against us. But the word of God, when we read Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, it says to us, verse number 12, that for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the rulers, the authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So we are wasting our time trying to fight against human beings, because our battle, it is not flesh and blood. We need to train ourselves on that. We need to fight our battles in a right way. We need, the word of God says in 11 that we need to put on all of God's armor. so that we will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. So we find ourselves trying to fight people using the wrong armors. Our armors are not carnal. The word of God says our weapons are not carnal. But our weapons, we use spiritual weapons to fight our daily battles. And we need to be to remind ourselves now and then that we are not fighting flesh and blood, but we are fighting against evil rulers. We are fighting authorities. We are fighting against mighty powers in this dark world. And if we can get that, we will realize that if we are fighting against such, then we need God in our battles on daily basis to fight on our behalf. And we need to use the correct weapons for our battles, because now when we fight, we are fighting using carnal weapons, and with the hands, we are losing so many battles in our daily life. But we need to come to that point where we realize that without Him, we can't be victorious. We are victorious because He is with us. He is going before us, and He's the one who's fighting our enemies. He knows how to approach our enemies. He knows how to fight our enemies, and we don't know because we don't understand what we are fighting up against. So the battle is not ours. We need to remember that. The battle is not ours. The battle is of the Lord. What we need to do is to put on God's armor so that we may be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the enemy. Number six, when you're facing daily opposition as well, remember that the word of God says we are not using the weapons which are carnal, but we are using the spiritual weapons. So as we fight in our daily battles, we need as well to come to a point where we stand against everything that is opposing the truth of God in our life. What is the truth that I'm speaking about? I'm speaking about the word of God. Everything else that is speaking and it's opposing what God has spoken all over your life, we need to come to that point of 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, where it says we demolish arguments. We need to wake up every morning during the day, just before we sleep, we need to come to that point where we demolish arguments and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let everything obey Jesus Christ, and we need to do that on our daily basis to demolish all the arguments, everything that is opposing the word of God in our lives, everything that is standing against the word of God in our lives. We need to come against that. And that the last one, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart, because when we put our trust in the Lord, He will never put us to shame. He will never put us into confusion. So every day we need to trust in the Lord. We trust in the Lord on a daily basis. We trust on His abilities. We trust that He is able to make way for us. We trust that He will fight all the battles for us. And we just need to trust God completely and doubt Him and have no doubt that God, and believe that God in every situation, He'll come through for us and He will fight on our behalf. So let us trust in the Lord and put our trust in Him, and be rest assured that if we put our trust in Him, He will never put us into confusion. Yes, the realities of this life and the facts of this life might make us to be a little bit doubtful, but we need to overcome that and pray about it, that the Lord will help us not to focus too much on the realities or to entertain the realities of life, but let us rather trust and believe in the Lord and His word and His promises, because they are true and they are amen in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We give You the praises and we give You the glory and honor. We pray that You will help us to overcome our daily battles. Father Lord, I pray and I'm confident that You who has begun a good work in us, You will carry us until its completion, Father. We thank You. We give You the praises. Continue to fight on our behalf. I pray for strength for each and every person who's faced with battles in their life. Father, we pray that You help them, mighty God, and help them to overcome and to win in their daily fights. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we thank You. We give You all glory and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you. Until next time, God bless you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.